The Lord is risen. Very blessed with our time together here this morning. I certainly say yay and amen to what we've already heard and taught. Several scriptures that I had expected perhaps to turn to or refer to that already have been covered. A blessing that I remember from the opening is that verse in Romans 8. And let me turn to it. Somehow I hadn't really noticed, and I suppose I still surely don't, but I was blessed that Romans 8 verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. So it is important for us to believe in God, to believe in his son Jesus, to believe in that resurrection, that he lived, died, and rose, and that everyone awaits a resurrection, finally, unto eternal life, or else unto damnation. But this time in the meantime, that is what is so important. If we failed to consider and watch and be ready for the Lord's second coming, as he instructed to watch and be ready, it would be all lost. It would all be in vain. So in that time, that interim, that time in between, the quickening of our mortal bodies. We have that, yes. He that raised up Christ from the dead, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, it needs to dwell in us. If it does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you, the mortal bodies, these bodies that we're in now, this time now, quickened. Whatever it takes for us to endure, to be faithful, to be fruitful, to please him. Let's bow our heads for another word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely opportunity, this time here together. We thank you that you have blessed us so abundantly already here this morning. And we pray for the time at hand here now, praying for your spirit. Lord, be here with your spirit. Speak to us. We thank you, Lord, for the presence of that Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen. A week ago, I read the last chapter of the Gospel of Mark in personal devotions. It was where my bookmarker was, where I had been reading through the Gospel of Mark. And I read that last chapter, resurrection story. And then some hours later, I was asked, you know, the possibility of sharing a message this morning, and is suggested or requested, I'm not quite sure which, that it could be the resurrection story about the resurrection. And so I have not really considered going anywhere else. Mark 16, we could begin with reading Mark 16 here. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he said unto them, "Be not affrighted, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Now, when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Oh, this great miracle for us to behold and to consider again. It is so lovely to consider what's available from four different gospels and other related scriptures also. Seems it takes somewhat a miracle to really put things together, make it all fit together, and now in this present time. But we expect revelations that will surely thrill and fascinate on how it all works together, how it all comes together. Very early in the morning, that first day of the week, rising early, before the rising of the sun, John Newton wrote a hymn, which isn't in either of our hymn books. I don't really know why. And I couldn't quote it. Might quote part of the first verse. Mary to the Savior's tomb, hasted in the early dawn, spice she brought, and rich perfume, but the Lord she loved was gone. For a while she lingering stood, filled with sorrow and surprise, while a crystal flood filled her weeping eyes. And goes on, there are two more verses. Writer pointing out what it means to us, what's available for us. The stone, who will roll away the stone? It was a very great stone. I don't know if that particular stone was exactly what was intended, possibly, for the door to that tomb, or if there was something additional because of the seal granted by Roman authority, watches being set and so forth, making it very secure. The stone was rolled away. Entering in, they saw a young man. Some saw two angels. Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth. Perhaps it was the other one who said, as recorded in another gospel, who asked the question, he is risen. He is not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? Is that a very good idea, to seek the living among the dead? Those who kept watch became as dead men, as we heard. It's in the Gospel of Matthew, I believe, where we read of the request made that a watch might be set and that it be made very secure. And it's in Matthew where we read the details of what happened to those who were set at watch. On beyond also their fears of surely the punishment of death for not having done their job, so to speak. The amazing that of the Jews, amazing what they all comprehend, what they all comprehended, what they understood, some things that the disciples themselves had a hard time catching up to, a hard time understanding, that they understood things. In Mark, the Gospel of Matthew, it says how upon the death of Jesus, as he was taking to his burial, that a request was made of Pilate. They called Jesus a deceiver. They said, we remember when this deceiver was alive, he said that after 3 days, that if he's killed after 3 days, he would arise again. And so it seems like they considered it possible, or they indicated, they said, lest his disciples come and steal the body, make sure it's very secure. They remembered. They were being very thorough. They were wanting everything covered. They remembered. And so they made this request, and Pilate said, ye have a watch. Make it as secure as you can. Now, amazing to me that of the Jews made this request and recognized that when Jesus had spoken of the temple, that he was talking about his body. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days, I will raise it again. That they remembered that. And shortly beforehand, there were Jews who had used this very scripture, Jesus' answer to a request for a sign, that false witnesses, having made many attempts accusing Jesus at his trial in front of the Jewish rulers, in making that attempt, many attempts, false accusations, that this is the one that's recorded for us. Yet another false accusation. They falsely accused of Jesus of having said that I will destroy this temple made with hands and build another made without hands in 3 days. A false accusation. Seems like intentional twisting, misunderstanding, intentional grasping, trying for something. Don't know how many of the same group now, later, a number of hours later, after Jesus gave up the ghost, after he died and was being prepared for burial, that they remembered this, that's very important, that this man had said that he would arise in 3 days. Now, Jesus, when did Jesus make that statement in answer to the pressures, to the request for a sign? It's recorded in the Gospel of John. In John chapter 2, tends to make us think it was early on, but it follows and is attached to, seems like, the cleansing of the temple. And we wonder, the Gospel of John, about that cleansing being mentioned already in the second chapter of the Gospel, and different people have different ideas whether this happened twice or whether it was indeed the same time after that triumphant entry into Jerusalem Palm Sunday, as it's sometimes called, which would have been, according to calendars, last Sunday, which was, I was surprised, Palm Sunday being a strange term to some of our number. Now, as far as the timing on that and the resurrection morning itself, the first day of the week, resurrection, observing that resurrection every first day of the week, but especially this time of the year when there's all the new life springing forth out and about, and believing that the Jews must be right about this being the time of the year for the Passover, which I understand is the first full moon after the spring equinox, which was earlier, is earlier some years than others. It was considerably earlier last year. But it was the Jews who tested Jesus, I believe we might say, requiring a sign, asking for a sign, and Jesus gave that sign publicly. He spoke to the Jews, the disciples and many others heard him say that also, and that they remembered. But considering this resurrection and the events preceding it and moving towards it, Jesus had, it seems, around three times, maybe more. There's three times recorded in two of the Gospels that he sought to prepare the disciples for this event, for his death, his arrest, his death, his resurrection. Consider three times, the fourth that's alluded to in the Gospel of Mark, starting in Mark 8, where he he'd broken bread for hungry people, and the disciples had forgotten to take bread as they entered into a ship, and he asked them questions about the Lord's provision for multitudes when bread seemed very scant among several thousand, 5,000 one time and four the other, whatever the numbers were. Healed a blind man. In Mark 8, verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? They answered the question, some say this, some say that. But Jesus, he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man. So here was Jesus with the disciples. And he began to teach them. Matthew 16, we have more detail on this. Jesus teaching about the church, his church, and how the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And he began to teach them. He began to teach the disciples. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. Seems like in of the other Gospels, it may state it more clearly that this was in private to the disciples. And not long afterward, in Mark chapter 9, we see it again. Jesus had begun to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In chapter 9, we read of that transfiguration on the mountain. And Peter took Jesus took Peter, James, and John and led them up there in the mountain. In verse 4, there appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Another gospel, there's more detail about what they talked about the Lord's demise, what was on hand for him. Seems like those three disciples were almost like in a trance, with not to say. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. So, seems an answer to the idea of building three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. The voice came, This is my beloved Son, hear him. The same voice that was heard from heaven when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. This is my beloved Son. And suddenly, when they had looked around about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. In one of the other Gospels, we read how they asked the question, Why say the scribes and Pharisees that Elias must come first? The scribes and the Pharisees, they knew that Elias must come first before the Messiah. And Jesus answered and said, Truly, Elias must first come. And he has. And they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Similar to what will be done to the Son of Man. And then they understood that he's talking of John the Baptist. Elias has come. So in that sense, we could say we have Elias's response about the beloved Son, hear him. Had to think of Moses, we have his statement made a long time before, where he'd already said this. The voice came from the cloud, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Moses had already said, a prophet will the Lord your God raise up like unto me. Him shall ye hear. So Moses had already said that. So I was trying to think, considering the life of Elijah, did Elijah make those instructions during his lifetime? Well, as we know, Elijah didn't die. He was taken up into heaven. And from the Lord Jesus' words, there'll be plenty that was spoken by John the Baptist, preparing the people for this, the beloved Son, to hear him. He said, truly the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus had said on the Mount of Transfiguration that truly Elias must come first and that he has come. Truly Elias must come first and set all things in order. And so if we consider what John taught, we can understand that it was setting all things in order. There's not a whole lot, not a great many words recorded of what he taught and preached in humility, not considering himself that prophet, not considering himself Elijah, and certainly not the one who was supposed to come, but a forerunner, a coming ahead of him. Well, it escaped my notice, but it is actually right here in this gospel. If you all have Bibles open, you probably noticed it. I wanted really to point out here, and it comes sort of in between, is they came down from the mountain. He charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. He had begun to show them that the Son of Man would die and arise again. And in verse 10, and they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one another what the rising from the dead should mean. What the rising from the dead should mean. They questioned amongst themselves about that. They came down from the mountain. The other disciples had attempted to help a lad that was in such dire trouble. Demon possessed, I guess you'd say. And those disciples were not able to help. Jesus was able to help. People were astonished. Disciples asked when they came to the house, why could not we cast him out? They're now in the house apart from the multitude. And he explained, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. This is Mark 9, verse 29. And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. But they understood not that saying and were afraid to ask him. So they disputed along the way, who will be the greatest? But again, in the next chapter, in chapter 10, verse 17, we read of the one who came running and kneeled to him there in the way and asked, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered. The man went away grieved. Jesus said, explain how hard, impossible for a rich man to enter into heaven. Disciples ask whether there's any hope, seem to wonder if there's any hope for anyone. Verse 27, and Jesus looking upon them saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So Peter mentioned what things the disciples, what they had left for the kingdom of heaven's sake. And Jesus assured that there would be a reward for that. Makes me remember the Lord's words in one of the Gospels where he, as John had come to set all things in order, so Jesus took it on in greater detail. Jesus being the beloved Son, hear him, hear ye him. Jesus, the beloved Son, he mentioned, he pointed out, he dealt with ideas from the law of Moses and other scriptures. The beloved Son, whom we are to hear, he mentioned things. He said, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, you have heard that it hath been said about hating enemies, loving neighbors. But I say unto you, Jesus saying to do good, to turn the other cheek, to love our enemies, to do good to those who hate us. We can note that he didn't really say in those situations that he came to change things. Well, he said he came to fulfill the law. Ye have heard that it hath been said. Jesus in Luke 10, I believe, where a certain lawyer asked that question, what shall I do to be saved? What must I do? Jesus, he returned. He answered by asking another question. What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do we read the law? What is written in the law? How do we read it? Do we read it in the spirit of the beloved Son, hearing the beloved Son? Or is that too tough? Are there easier understandings, easier ways to read it? Is it not necessary to make it that hard for ourselves? The beloved Son, it is to hear him. So I believe it's in Matthew also where we read of some more details about that first day resurrection morning, how the women went, told the disciples, I guess it's not Matthew, or I don't see it, but we're familiar. One of the Gospels has those details, how two, or a second one may allude to it also, or mention it briefly, how the women came back, told the disciples, and how two of the disciples ran to check things out. And they were Peter and John. John's a writer. It's in the Gospel of John. They ran to the tomb, and John says, the disciple whom Jesus loved outran the other disciple. John was able to run a bit faster than Peter, and he came to the tomb, and he looked in. But he didn't go in. But then Peter came running and seems like he plunged right in there. And he saw the grave clothes neatly folded, the napkin that was on his head folded and laid separately. And he saw, and he came back out. Then John followed, and he also went in and looked, and he saw, and it says he believed. For they as yet understood not the scriptures. You sort of need the page to that. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. I don't know what you all take out of this. Seems coming, entering the sepulchre and believing, seems to me that must be when the light came on, when he started to understand. They had not, for as yet, to take it that way. I don't disagree with anyone taking it the other way. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. He believed that he arose from the dead. He wasn't there. He'd parted. There's an empty tomb. Now the scripture, considering the scripture, that could have followed much later, or sometime later, considering the scripture and really getting to know the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Now, we don't think of our scriptures today. He didn't have the New Testament at that time. We think of Old Testament scriptures. And it is interesting, rewarding, to consider, to look up, to consider prophecies about these events. The fascinating part to me is how slim or how slight the indication, the reference would seem to me. There are others who have studied, and they refer to this scripture and to that scripture, and what's written seems very scant. Again, it seems like the Jews as a whole, the unbelieving Jews, and also those who started believing, seems like they had access to a whole lot, or they perceived or gathered. I tend to be amazed. There's so many that seem so, to me, and others may find it different. From the very beginning, that there would be a Redeemer to redeem the fallen race after men fell at the first, there at the very beginning. We understand, and I agree, that it seems God called His people to Him, Adam and Eve, and comforted them. He was not willing for them to be without comfort and in a lost state. And we agree there was a promise made. But if we look it up, there in Genesis, we notice that the words God spoke were actually spoken to the serpent, that he said, "I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed." And I may get it in the wrong order, probably will. There will be enmity. Thou shalt bruise his heel, but it shall bruise thy head. Maybe that's the other way around. Spoken to the serpent in their hearing, of course. And we take it that they were comforted that there is a way forward. And here, Jesus, putting forth that effort, he began to show the disciples. The Jews who so feared that they might not have conquered or won the battle even yet, surely seemed like quite a success with the death, with Jesus actually being crucified and died and buried, that fear, the grave needs to be made sure. They probably also remembered, well, surely they did, Jesus showed to believers and to the world, a pre-run on this, if you will, of resurrection, of stones being rolled away, with Lazarus having lain in the grave for 4 days, with a stone for a door, and Jesus coming to that place, the village of Lazarus, of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. Lazarus having been sick, word having come to the Lord that Lazarus was sick. And he went a while later. And as he neared the place, Martha met him in the way. Martha hurried out and met him before he got there. And she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know even now, whatsoever he asks, it will be done. I don't really know what she expected. Jesus said, thy brother shall live. And Martha acknowledged that, well, she knew that at the resurrection, at the last day, that he would live. That resurrection at the last day. But there was to be another resurrection for Lazarus before that resurrection at the last day. So they continued toward the village. And then Mary came out and met the Lord. She said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And the Jews wept. Jesus wept. But a resurrection power, Jesus, he asked to be shown. To show me the place where he was laid. And so they went to the grave. And the next thing, well, the stone. For the stone to be removed. And we know the story. Jesus called out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. Somehow, this may have been more urgent, meeting his Lord at the door of the grave. He came in his grave clothes. He didn't take time to take them off. He came in his grave clothes, and Jesus said for him to be released, to be unbound. Free him, let him go. He's bound in those grave clothes. And so this was known to believers, to Jews, seems pretty much to the world, perhaps, in so much that the Jews were becoming pretty desperate about this which was in progress, the teachings of him who was to be heard by the people in that time, and he who is to be heard now, the beloved Son. Hear ye him. And the Jews became very concerned. They said, if this continues, then the Romans will come and take away our place and nation. I thought it was taken away. They were under Roman rule, and yet I guess they feared something still more complete, more drastic, maybe to the prevention of the kingdom being restored as they expected, that one would arise and there'd be a political kingdom into eternity, perhaps. Not quite sure, you know, just what or how they expected. And Caiaphas, being the high priest that year, prophesied. It's because he was the high priest. He said, well, you all don't understand. Be better if one man should die than the whole nation perish. This he said, not of himself. Being high priest, he prophesied the truth, that one man die for the lives of the whole world, the willing or interested world. So they sought to put Jesus to death, and Lazarus also. Because of Lazarus, many believed. So they sought also to put Lazarus to death. I don't know what had become of Lazarus by the time of the crucifixion and the resurrection. We don't read We don't read about that. Perhaps return to our text at least briefly here, Mark 16. In Mark chapter 16, so they saw him. Well, Mark, mentions of unbelief that still continued in verse 11. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. Appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and we're familiar with that story about those two as they walked. And those two as they walked spoke to the stranger that fell in stride and started talking with them, man who appeared to be a stranger. They related what had happened, this concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came, saying they had seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. It seemed such a blessing if Luke would have been able to record that word for word, write it there for us. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts, he quoted from the Psalms, how thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. And he explained very well how David, being a prophet, spoke that of Jesus, of him coming of his seed. He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, upbraided them for unbelief. Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Now they saw him too. And he gave those instructions. Go into the world, go into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. The gospel to every creature, believing, being baptized, having that spirit. Having that spirit, what is the word in Romans 8? That spirit. Renew or the our fleshly bodies, our temporal lives, very possible to please God while we live in flesh that is so prone to failure and sin, very possible. Very possible to please Him, very possible. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith upon the earth? Very possible. Believing and being baptized. Very possible to live such a life of readiness, of watchfulness, of being ready for His return. He spoke of the signs that shall follow and about Him being received into heaven, which we gather was a whole 40 days later. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following them. So these signs that shall follow, that was already fulfilled when this was written, and it has been fulfilled since and seems to continue being fulfilled. I think perhaps we could close with prayer. Could kneel, those who are able. Father, we thank You, oh, for Your blessings. Lord, we thank You for us, each of us, being able to see the things that we see, live in the time that we live in. Many patriarchs, kings, and prophets having desired to see the things that we see and had not seen them. Lord, oh, let it work wonders in each of us. Lord, let it make each of us just very useful in supporting, supporting each other in this walk and holding forth the word of life to so many who shun it, aren't looking. Help us to hold it forth in an effective way. In the name of Jesus, amen.